I'm always excited to give out God's word, but this really touched me. And it's about wait on the Lord and why. Not just tell people wait on the Lord, but why would you tell them that? What would come out of your heart when you say wait on the Lord, but why? I want us to go to Psalm 62. And this is David. What I want you to notice is in this psalm, he's not saying, God, can you deliver me? God, can you this? God, can you enable me? God, can you? He's not saying any of those things. This is a man standing in faith. He's believing God, and he's by experience already learned these things, and he's going through experience. He's learning them. But I want you to really take in the words that are coming out of his mouth. When he's saying all these things, it's confidence. He is confident in God. Okay, verse 1, 62 Psalm. Truly, and we're going to stop right there because I looked it up in the Hebrew. It means never alone. It also means truly only. Only in God. And it's like only and not alone. And when you think on those, it's like truly, but only trusting in the Lord. Your confidence must be totally in God. And we're going to see what he says about this. My soul. And I think of that new life, that soul inside of us as we begin to grow and our desires become his will, my affection, everything. It's like my soul waiteth upon God. And it says he waits on God. Why? And he's going to tell you exactly why. Not begging, not asking, not right now. He's saying, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. From him cometh my deliverance. Whatever is needed. He is the God of all grace. And he said, it's him who brings my deliverance. And that's not always to take you out of something. It can be take you through it. He only, as we said, truly meant only. When you see only, you're going to see it a bunch of times in this psalm. Only. He only is my rock. And we think about Christ, and you think about a rock. That's an unshakable foundation. It's a firm foundation. And we're standing firm and being built up in Christ with a sure foundation. He said, only he is my rock. Notice it's mine by experience. He's not just going, God is my rock and that's where I stand. And he's going, no, I'm telling you, God is my rock. It is unshakable. It is unmovable. And my salvation. He is my defense. I looked up defense. He's a high tower. And you're going to see in a few verses, it's going to talk about a tottering fence. Compared to a tottering fence, you have to remember that he is our high tower. He's such a place much higher than all these things below. And as I looked on this, it said, he's my rock. He's my salvation. He's my defense. He's my defense. You know, how many times have you heard something come out of maybe someone's mouth? Maybe very dear to you. I don't care, but I mean, it's like, it could be an enemy. But say you hear something, but you don't respond because you know it's not the Lord's voice. You hear it. You don't recognize Jesus' voice. So you just don't do nothing. And I'm not saying just throw it in a trash can. I'm saying your life that you now live, I did not hear my Savior's voice. My sheep know his voice. And he's teaching us that. And he said, he's my defense. You know, he is a defender of his people. You know, so-and-so could maybe do this or someone could say that. And then you, like the life you now live, you just let it go and leave it with God. You get home and someone calls and said, I'm so sorry for what I said. It's okay. I'm sorry I cut you off so short. Another person. I'm sorry I was so impatient on the bus today. I didn't have to say one word. I did not have to come in my defense. He takes my place. I am his, and he is mine, and his desire is towards me. But that's when it becomes personal, and when he begins to show you by experience, see, you didn't have to say one word. I talked to them. I convicted them. They responded to my voice. He's my defense, and I love it. I shall not be greatly moved. Okay, I'm gonna go over there real quick to 1 Peter 1. Because I think instead of being greatly moved, I like these words. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Instead of being greatly moved, we can know who we're standing and believing in. You greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Now watch, they're rejoicing. But now for a season, if needed, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. That the trial, it's a trial, but it's a trial of your faith, a testing, believing God or increasing your faith. Help thou my unbelief, Lord. The trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Job said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold, that I might, it be tried with fire, might be found into praise, honor, glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So no matter what we do, whatever trial we have, just remember, it's preparing us. Jesus is coming, and it's only for a season. Be not, you know, don't get all upset because of this fiery trial that you may be going through. It is hard, but I believe even God prepares you ahead of time. Sometimes he just gives it during the trial. But now go back and he says, I shall not greatly be moved. If someone's not going to be greatly moved, if they're not going to be, then I believe they're standing in faith and they're being greatly rejoicing in the God in whom they serve. How long? Now, here's what he's going to say to his enemies. Now, just get that this is David. David is saying, he believes. He's my rock. He's my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not greatly be removed. And then he's talking, and I don't know if he's actually saying it to them. I don't know. But I even thought, even if he wasn't, whether he said it with his words or just the life that he was living. How long, enemies, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. God can take you down in 1 minute. Don't rise up against David or a man after God's own heart or God's people. He said, you'll be slain, all of you. And he goes, now remember the high tower? Because you're like a bowing wall, you shall be. Look, this little, it's just kind of, have you ever seen a fence? Just, oh, that thing's going to fall over one of these days. David knew it was. David knew. And I think if you really love the Lord, you hurt for them. You know, I used to think, gosh, if there's only two people in Sunday school, at least somebody, God, you have a message for someone. But it's like he doesn't look at numbers. And he said, but he wants us to be strong, not like a tottering fence. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. What is it we want to know? The throwing beyond the excellency of the power of God. Well, they wanted to throw down his excellency. They delight in lies. They're not speaking truth. They're lying. They bless with their mouth. Oh, I love you. Oh, bless you, bless you. But with their inward parts, they're cursing him inwardly. Selah. And he says, stop and think about what I'm telling you. David's warning it. To me, his life warns them. His words can warn them. Don't do this. And he said, now, after he says this to his enemies, he goes, but my soul, wait thou only. Here we go. You're not alone. He's there with you. If God be for me, who can be against me? My soul, you wait upon God, for my expectation is from him. I'm expecting. How can he expect from God? Do you have an expectation? If someone's doing you wrong, do you expect, do you know that God sees what's going on, that God will intervene? This is when you're resting. This is called, I'm resting in the Lord. He is my Sabbath, 7 days of rest. And there are many beliefs today that they lose the beauty and the joy of that because they pick one day a week and that's their day of rest when they could have six more with it. But my soul, this is his testimony, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only again, is my rock. He only is my salvation. I shall not be moved. I'm not going to be easily shaken. David had to know that I'm not going to be easily shaken. He said, because I know God is for me. But we have to grow to that place. But I think it's a beauty and a joy to know this is what God's doing, a work in our life, that no matter what, we can joy in him, that we can rejoice in the Lord always. Paul said, and again, I say, rejoice. He is, I shall not be moved. In God, and we say, I want to be found in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not I can do all things. It's I can do all things because he gives me the strength. That's grace. But that is also a soul that is waiting with expectation. He's my rock, my salvation, my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation, my glory. You see, man had no glory on his own. You didn't have any glory. He said that God is his glory. And he said, I trust in him. God is my salvation, my glory. He's the rock that keeps me going. He's the rock of thy strength, my strength. He's the refuge. I take refuge is in God. Now look what he does. He spoke out to the enemies. He's basically, whether you say it or you just walk it. He says, I trust the Lord. Then he talked about the enemies and how their inward parts and what they want to do to him. But he continues to say, but my hope is in thee, Lord. And then when you get to verse 8, what did Paul say in Romans? As much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. As much as in me is, not in my mouth, in my heart. As much as in me is, I am ready to preach Jesus. I'm ready to tell them the good news. Trust, now he's telling others. His testimony speaks to others. Trust in him. He's telling them, trust in him at all times. You people. See, not just himself. He's saying, it's for you too. He said, just trust in him at all times, you people. And he tells them, pour out your heart before him. So get on your knees, cry out to God, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That means he's going to take care of everything. He's going to be your rock. He's going to be your salvation. He's going to be your shelter, your security, your place of refuge. Pour out your heart before him. Why? Because God is a refuge for us. Selah. He said, think about that. Just meditate on that. He said, before you go any further. And then he goes in, he's telling them this. Surely men of low degree are vanity. Men of high degree are a lie. But to be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. And I just go, pop, nothing. You can take a man of high place in society. You can put your confidence in them. You can put your confidence in low, whatever. But he said, don't do that. Because it's just like a flower that just fades away. He said, trust not. Oh, and weigh it in the balances. You take anyone, any place, the things that, take that life and put it in the balance of God's word and see if it all balances out. Trust not. He doesn't want us to trust in oppression. Sometimes, you know, we think, well, why would you trust in oppression? Well, if you're not trusting in the Lord and you're oppressed, what are you doing? I don't have to fall into that snare. I don't have to trust oppression that's being thrown to me and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, say you get a big pay raise and, oh, you go, man, I could buy another house with that money. Or you got a big check from something, whatever. Don't set your heart upon that kind of riches. It is okay to have money. It is okay for the Lord to bless you in things. But if he was to take them away like he did Job, what would you be like then? You see, I have a hard time because I put a lot of confidence, and I believe it's scriptural, the head of your home. But if God decided to take George, I would have to believe that the same God of all grace is going to take care of me. And I'll tell you, that would be watching a miracle happen because I don't know how to do anything. But that's how we should be, always in a place of dependence upon the Lord. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will always make a way when there seems to be no way. There is no temptation taking you and tempting you to unbelief, whatever. But such is common to man. All men are tempted, but God. God is going to make a way of escape, or he's going to give you the grace to endure it. He said, just don't set your heart upon them. Set your heart upon true riches. And I think of Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Have you seen him ask yet? God, will you get these enemies? God, we know this man has been experiencing this and he's going, I already know when this is happening now. Those enemies are going down. They're not going to come over you. They cannot overtake you because I'm going to strengthen you that you'll stand having done all to stand. A lot of people say, well, I don't want to look like I'm weak. Don't even think like that. When you're down, you're weak, that just shows me you're in a place of humbleness, total dependence. A lot of people can make that look ever so good to be humble. No, when God does it, you'll know. When you know God's grace, really know God's grace, I'm gonna tell you, it's gonna humble you. It's gonna humble you when you're around those who don't deserve it. But that was me. you're going to be so humble. You're not going to try to make them live like, you better be living like I live. You see, that God doesn't want that. I believe he says, Paul said, follow me, but as I follow Christ. Yeah, if he's following Christ, Paul couldn't do anything on his own. If we go back in the book, go back in the Word of God and see, Saul, he persecuted the church. He was on the road to Damascus to go do a little more damage, and God struck him down. God, our times are in his hand. Saul, enough is enough. And he struck him down. And he said, what would you have me to do, Lord? And then Ananias goes and has to lay hands on him. And I say, and has to, because Ananias was just like any other human. You're asking me to go lay hands on Saul? Do you know who Saul is? What about Moses? You're having me go to Pharaoh and to tell him these things? You see, when we look at it that way as a man, we have to look at it as, you're sending me to Pharaoh and you're going to have me say your words to him. Yeah, he could go to him alone, but it's God's choice how he wants to do it. God is also teaching Moses, I want you to go and you tell him this. Not what you want to tell him, not how you feel, not how you see. You tell him the gospel. That's how I see it. Be ready, instant, in season and out. Because if a man asks you, or if God tells you to go up and say something, he's never done that. He just has always just said, wait, I'm going to open up that door. And then I want you to walk in and I want you to trust me because I'm God, not you. I'm going to bring an increase in that heart. But you have to say what I tell you to say. So they lay hold of truth. And it does happen. And there's a change. So he says, don't set your heart upon this kind of riches. He said, everything I've shared with you, God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this, what? That power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth not just the power, the mercy. There's mercy new every morning. There's mercy. We come into the throne room of grace. We obtain that mercy. He knows. And then there's the mercy and grace to help in the time of need. O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou, not you, not me, thou renderest to every man according to his work. And I like it because it's according to his work, but I want my works to be his work. Do it all in the name of Jesus. Do it all by God's grace. And as I look on this, that is when you're going to know the mercy's new every morning. The power's going to be there. What about as thy days be, so shall your strength be. If God says you're going to live today, he's going to give you the strength. If God says, I'm going to take you home today, he's going to give you the strength. I always think of Vern when he raised his hands. He knew it was time to go home. And he sat up in bed and he raised his hands. And anyone who tried to touch him, he was like, get off me. I'm going home. And he laid down. The body laid down. But he went where he had longed to be. All those years of his life, he went to be with the Lord. We're in his time. Now, God had to give that body enough strength. You see, it was the inner man, so powerful, so strong in believing God. And I believe he heard or he saw, he knew. And that that weak body just raised up. How? By the power of God. When you have things in your life that you want changed, trust God. God is going to change it. God is going to do it according to his perfect will. You'll render to every man according to his work. What have you done with what I've given you? What have you done? You know, that's one of the, I think it's a parable where he talks about, I've given this man this many talents, and I've given this, and I've given that. And if it be talent, if it be just giving you another day, whatever God has given you, to me, that means to me, God gave me a new day. If God gave me words, whatever, what have you done with it? It's responsibility of another man's goods, responsibility according to the ability that God giveth. What are you can't be responsible with you. We're responsible for what God has given. Thank you, God, you gave me another day to walk with you, to let your glory be seen, to share your grace, to share the love of God. That's what he wants from us. And it just amazes me how David continuously, just everything is promoting the Lord. Everything in this psalm, his confidence. That's a man full of confidence. Not just with his life and who God is, but even confident how if God is for you, those enemies can't do anything. You've been seated far above principalities and powers. You're a heavenly people. And I know David, he knew that God was these things in his life. And that's how he wants us. I know that God is for me. So really, what trial is going to hurt me? What's really going to... We may feel it. He didn't say you weren't going to feel. But that's when you take your place in the Lord and say, I need grace, Lord. He'll be faithful. He'll give it to you. When I finish this lesson, and I want to tell you this because it's part of it. As I finished, the song came on my heart. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And I closed the Bible and I heard, God, you are my God, and I will ever praise thee. It's like, God, you are my God. You are my strength. You're my high tower. You're my defense. We're learning all these things. We hear it with our ear, but then we learn it by experience. And then we share it with other people because they have the same problem. Well, I just don't like him. It's okay. I've been there. You see that humble because of God's grace? It's okay. I've been there before. Let me tell you, he wants to be this in you. He's going to do this in you. You just have to surrender. Be a submissive vessel unto him. You think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wanted to go into a fiery furnace? I don't think so. But their heart was right. What about Daniel? Do you think he really wanted to go into a lion's den? He knew his God. And I like the words, whether he deliver me or whether he doesn't, I'm not going to bow down to you. I am going to bow to him and him alone. That's a big testimony. Let's all stand for a word of prayer.